What do you get when you combine simplified practice marketing, proven ROI strategy, and Van skate shoes? You get Mark Thackeray, of course. So lace up, grab your green smoothie, and get ready, because this is Dental Marketing Secrets, and this is Mark.
What is happening, my friends? Welcome to episode number 23 of the Dental Marketing Secrets podcast. This is the place to find actionable tips and tricks that you can take and apply to grow your practice so you can serve more patients and ultimately leave a greater impact. That is what we are all about, my friends. My name is Mark Thackeray. As always, honored to be here with you. Another glorious day coming to you from Salt Lake City, Utah, and just grateful to be here with you. Thanks for spending some time with me. Today, we're going to talk about numbers, you guys, specifically analytics and what I recommend that you look at on a consistent basis in order for long-term sustainable success, okay? So let me provide you a little bit of context for this particular episode, get you up to speed. There was an experience I had with a new client, okay? We had just finished one of our campaigns, and this was a campaign that involved Facebook ads, email sequence, social posting over a 30-day period, something like that, okay? And this was one of their first forays into Facebook. So they had, you know, different feelings. They were nervous. They were excited. They, had a lot. They knew there was a lot of potential there, but they also weren't quite sure how to do it, okay? Which is, you know, typical, right? A lot of people feel that exact same way. And typically what happens when I start to work with someone like this, you know, we start small, okay? It's not a massive budget. I like to test and prove the concept first, you know, and then I optimize and then scale. You know, I'm different than most agencies out there because I want to make sure that it's working, okay? That the ROI is there before investing thousands and thousands of dollars every month. Okay, so that's like my strategy when I start working with new clients. And so we get started, we design and create the campaign, and then we press, it's time to press go and start running the ads. And for me, when I, you know, the first 5 to 7 days are really my testing phase, where I'm looking at different elements of that campaign. I'm testing different headlines. I'm looking at, is this image working? You know, is it just drawing people in, testing different offers and body copy, that sort of thing, just to see what is the combination that's going to perform the best? You know, which overall message is most compelling? And this is really a huge tip for everyone out there, is to let the market decide. And what I mean by that is you start off with your best guess, your original idea. You know, it's based off past experiences and interactions with patients, et cetera, et cetera. But always, always, always test to see if that's what the market wants. You know, how many times have you watched money go down the drain? Because, you know, me personally, I remember back when I had my photography business, how many times I watched money go down the drain because I was too married to that idea that I had, you know, this is what's going to work. And, you know, I remember specifically one example, and it was a really big turning point for me, actually. You know, so I put together, I'd been learning about, okay, you got the power in split testing and this same concept where you let your audience speak with their, you know, with their actions, whether that's pulling out their credit card and purchasing, or it could be downloading, or whatever the objective of that campaign is, let them determine if it's right, if your messaging's right or not. And so I was putting together this email and I thought, okay, I'm going to test this. I will try this out. There's no way it's going to work. And so I put together an email, you know, I put everything into it. I was thinking, okay, this is perfect message. Here's going to be an irresistible offer. This one is rocking. And then the other one, I just, okay, well, I'll just put together. There's no way anything's going to beat this in my control email because it's so good. You know, I just loved it. And I put together an alternative version and I was like, well, you know, we'll see, you know, I'll try it and see. And it was crazy, you guys. The results were astounding. Like, I still, this day, I'm still thinking, scratching my head, like, how did that work? But I followed that advice and let my audience dictate what they wanted to hear, you know? And in this case, it was that second email. It was that message that I wasn't particularly excited about, You know, I'm not, at least not as much as my first message. And so, you know, I didn't give it a whole lot of confidence, but it worked so well, you guys. It outperformed at least 4-1 versus the other one. So that's just a little plug there. You have to test and you have to let your market decide. Don't always be so married like I was to a specific idea or a specific, you know, ad in general, because you might be wasting a lot of money that way. So let the people speak. You are not necessarily your patients. So don't automatically assume that you know everything that they want or why they want it or even when they want to get it. Okay, so let them speak for themselves. It's a massive mistake that I see a lot of practices making is they're not taking the time to test different offers because you really never know how high is high. You know, once you start testing, and as we'll get into and dive into this episode, you'll see how liberating that process is. Okay, so back to my story for just a sec. The campaign starts and we are starting to evaluate the results. And so I'm diving into, you know, if you're on Facebook or if you're on Facebook Ads Manager, you can see there's tons of data right at your fingertips. So you have number of clicks, there's click-through rate, there's cost per click, there's reach, there's all these different elements, tracking mechanisms, okay, to help better understand your performance of a particular campaign. And so I'm beginning to share that information. And I, you know, as I follow, obviously I'm watching the campaign as it progresses, I'm updating the numbers. And throughout this whole process, I'm watching the reaction of my client as she's going up and then she's going down and she's going up and down. And she is literally all over the place, you know? And the reason for this is because, you know, this whole roller coaster ride is because every which way she lacks the understanding of what's important when it comes to long-term success. Okay. She is, you know, reacting to every single fluctuation, that's occurring because that's how it works. You know, I mean, it's testing, you're trying different things. So some things are working and it's going up, some things are not working so well and it's going down. And when we see this all in real life as well, parenting is a prime example. You know, I, 4 girls, I've mentioned that before on the podcast. And yes, I dress all in pink, by the way. But have you ever noticed that same emotional roller coaster that you experience with your first child? You know, every time she spits up on herself, or every time she trips and falls down, or she happens to pick something up off the ground and puts, where does it go? It goes directly into her mouth. And your natural reaction as a parent is to automatically jump in and save the day, is to resolve that situation. You can't have your glorious offspring eating dirt. Like, what? What is up to that? That is not going to happen. So you dive in there, you're the hero, you're saving the day, because what could be in that dirt? Think of what could be in there. And as I'm saying this, my youngest is trying to get through the door. So you probably heard that background. But then what happens, you see the shift in your mindset when your daughter gets older. And this is especially true if you have more than one child. You know, we, with Annie, who was just trying to get in the door, she's our youngest, and our attitude has completely flipped. It is almost 180 degrees from what it used to be with our oldest daughter, Siri. I'm no longer freaking out and reacting to every single thing that happens. I understand. And that's because I understand what's really important. You know, and those things that are most important, well, I can see that she's totally fine. She's not in mortal peril, but she's actually engaging with her environment. She's learning and discovering. Like, those are all tremendous things that we want for our kids. But with the first child, you just don't get that. You know, conceptually, you might understand that. If someone were to tell you, you might agree and say, yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But deep down, subconsciously, you don't understand that. And so you react. Every little thing, you rush to catch them because they're falling on a stair or you're about to smash their fingers in the drawer. Have you ever noticed that? That same process occurs with marketing. You know, at first you tend to be that parent. You know, you put so much weight on each individual statistic or report. And when it's working, you are super pumped. You're on top of the world. You're elated. And when it's not performing great, you are down in the dumps. You know, you throw your hands in the air like, oh, that's it. It doesn't work. This isn't working. You know, and you walk out and you're fuming, right? And that, just like that new client I was telling you about, And that's just because, going back to that point, is they you just don't know what's the most important thing to focus on just yet. And yeah, like I said before, you may know conceptually. You may have heard these things before. You may know, okay, no, I got to think long term, all these things. But you just don't know until you go through it enough times that it becomes muscle memory. Okay, and this happens all the time, you guys, all the time. And so just know that and try and plant that seed now, because that'll come back to you and you'll be like, oh, okay, Mark's right. I'm acting like that first parent. And so yes, that's kind of the context of what we're talking about today a little bit. So you're probably asking at this stage though, what is important? What are those things to look for? So let's get into that. First and foremost is it starts with the right mindset. Okay, what is your marketing mindset? And this is something you need to ask yourself and be very candid with yourself so that you can get into the right frame of mind if you are not in the proper mindset. And the right frame of mind is that all this data, you know, all these stats, they are all the results that we're getting from any given campaign is just feedback. It's just feedback that will help me uncover what people want. All of it. Okay. And you know, what happens is a lot of people will put a hard deadline on their marketing. You know, it's like an ultimatum. And they're saying something to the effect of, you know, if I don't get this to work in 6 months, then I'm done. You know, that's it. You know, they say it like that. Like, oh yeah, you better, if this doesn't work, then man, I'm out of here. But can you imagine, let's apply that same philosophy, that same mindset, going back to the parenting example, to your child. Let's apply that same attitude to your child. You know, if you don't learn how to walk in 6 months, by goodness, you're out of here. You know, I'm cutting you off. You're done. You know, can you imagine that? Like a parent saying that to their child as they're, you know, as they're a couple months, they're scooting around and they're just attempting, you know, probably down the road, 6 months, and they're just attempting to start to walk. And here's this parent like threatening them, like, oh, if you don't do this, you know, and shaking their head, giving them the cutoff mafia sign, like, you're out of here, you know. And that is dangerous, quite frankly. That is a dangerous mindset to have. So it's important, it's critical to get your head in the right place. And that place is one of constant learning, constant growth, and repeating these words to yourself, I will figure this out. Okay? That is so critical. That's the first one. So the second one is lifetime value of a patient. This is transformational once you understand what a patient is worth to you. And there are there's three primary elements in this lifetime value equation. So first is the annual production per patient. What is that? What is your average annual patient production? Or let me rephrase that. I didn't say that quite clearly. What is the average patient production per year? Okay, is another way to say it. What is that average? It's going to be different from office to office. It's not a universal statistic, obviously. So you're going to have some that could be $650 a year. Others, it will be $1,650 a year. Or others, still, it will be $6,500 a year. And it just depends on your area of expertise, what you specialize in, what you focus on. And that is, but that's how you determine, okay, that's one component of the first component of the equation, of the lifetime value equation. Okay, next, you need to determine how long a patient stays with your practice on average. Is that 2 years? Is that 4 years? Is that 7 years? Okay, how long are they likely going to remain a patient based on your numbers, based on your statistic? And here's another insider's tip, is to be conservative with your numbers. Don't be at the top, best case scenario. Don't plan on that. If you take the lower, more conservative approach with your figures, you will always be pleasantly surprised. Okay, so be conservative in those estimates. Now, so you have the patient annual patient value. You've got the longevity of a patient, or the number of years that they will likely stay with you. Those are the first two components. The third and final component is referrals. How many referrals does each patient typically generate? Let's say you have 1,500 patients. Okay, 1,500 patients. You're smart. You're keeping track of your referrals. And you notice that on average each year, you receive 300 referrals from your patient base. Okay. So you do a little math and that you figure out that, okay, that's one referral per patient every 5 years based on the number. Okay. In 5 years, you're going to reach 1500 patients. That's how many patients you have now. It's one patient every 5 years. Does that make sense? You following me? Okay. And here's how, so that's the third and final component of the lifetime value equation. And when you put these all together, it comes up with, you know, the product of all that is the lifetime value of a patient. Like we've been talking about, it's to determine what is one patient ultimately worth to you in your practice over the time that they're a patient with you. Okay. So here's, let's go through an example. So let's use these numbers, easy numbers. So we have average production per patient. We're going to say $500. Okay. $500 a year per patient. That's the average. And retention is 5 years. Okay. So we're going to say an average patient stays with you for 5 years. Again, for the sake of math, we're going to keep this basic. And we're going to do referral. We'll stick with that same example. It's one every 5 years. So then you take the average annual production rate, which is 500, and you multiply that by your patient loyalty, 5 years, giving you a total of what? 2,500. Okay. So you with me there? And that's the first two. And then the last step is to take your referral average. In this case, it's one every 5 years. And so you're going to say, okay, over that time, you're going to bring in, that patient will bring in one new patient over that 5 years. Okay. So that effectively doubles your lifetime value to 5,000. Okay. Making it 5,000. Does that make sense? And so what's so cool about this, and that these are based off your conservative numbers from your practice history, and it's just, you're going off the data, right? So, and some people will actually omit the referral component in this equation, but I am such a huge believer, as I've talked about before, in making referrals an integral part of your marketing strategy that I always include that in. I always include that in. And a lot of practices, that is a major driver of new patient flow is referrals. And so I think I would strongly recommend that you factor this in and make sure, first of all, that you're keeping track. But what does this, why are we doing this? Like, why is this even important to know? Well, it's important because once you understand your patient lifetime value, then things become really cool. You're able to invest more strategically into your marketing efforts. Okay, so if you stayed with that same example, I could conceptually invest, you know, up to $500 for a new patient, because I know that patient's going to bring me 5K over 5 years, you know, and actually, if I had really good sustainability, I could theoretically invest up to $2,500 to bring in another patient, because that would still result in a 200% ROI long term. You see how that opens things up for you? And I realize, you know, most practices are not in a position to play the long game, but this is the type of thinking that will help you focus on those metrics that are most important for long-term sustainable growth. Okay. So we've talked about proper mindset. We've talked about lifetime value. The last thing I want to share with you on this episode is, and then I'm actually going to finish up with that client story I was telling you about, is the last thing is this: your data provides you with clues. Okay. What I'm saying is you need to become a data detective and use your data to unearth clues as to what needs to be changed. Okay, they're just clues. So let's say we're running a Facebook ad. So let's say we're running an ad on Facebook. I get a campaign set up and then I send you a report after 1 week. And you're looking at it and you're seeing things like impressions and reach and clicks and click-through rate and cost per click, engagement, and your head just, man, it starts spinning, because you're trying to figure out what each of these things means. And it can get pretty overwhelming, you know, real quick, actually, when you're looking at all these numbers and you're trying to make sense of them all. And while there is insight and definitely helpful information that you can glean from each of those metrics, let's simplify and let's focus on a few of them, three of them right now. Okay. And I'll dive in deeper into these more later on in the episode on what some of the other ones mean and how they can help you. But let's just focus on three of them. And these ones are very important. Okay. So clicks, click through rate, and cost per click. And let's imagine we're running a campaign and we're not seeing as many results as we want. You know, and results can be different things, right? It could be new patients. It could be number of calls. It could be number of downloads if you're doing a free report, something like that. Whatever your objective is, we're not seeing as many results as we'd like. And so we start to look at the numbers. Okay, so clicks. Clicks are pretty straightforward. It's the number of clicks generated by the people who saw your ad over a given amount of time. Okay, so well, why is this important? Clicks are important because they can, again, going back to the clues, data provides you with clues. They can provide you clues as to the effectiveness of your message. Okay, am I seeing a good number of clicks? If yes, then that's telling me that, okay, this, you know, I think our message is compelling enough for people to click through and find out more, which leads us to our next one, which is click-through rate. And this is also pretty straightforward. It's the rate or the percentage at which people click through to see the next step or to learn more after seeing your ad. And, you know, the average click-through rate for healthcare in a display ad, for example, is typically less than 1%. Like it's 0.75%, something like that. And it fluctuates, you know, but it's generally less than 1%. So CTR and click-through rate is another indication. It's just another way to look at is my ad resonating with my audience enough and motivating them enough to click through to find out more information. You know, a high click-through rate or CTR might mean that your message is a solid match and that your audience is really digging that. You know, I mean, it's spot on with who you're targeting. And a low CTR or click-through rate could be a clue that you have the wrong message or perhaps that you have the wrong audience. That could be it as well. Okay, so I'm just sharing these to help you start to see what to look for and not that any of these things are bad. You know, I mean, it's just feedback. Okay, that's another important reminder. It's just feedback. Next one, the last one is cost per click. Now, this is the average cost per click for your particular campaign. So they take, you know, however much you've spent and however many clicks there were, and that's how they get cost per click. And that's going to vary too. There's not like an industry standard for cost per click because it depends on a lot of things. You know, it depends on your practice. It depends on your audience and your geographic region. It depends on your objective. You're going to get a higher click-through rate for something that is low risk or no risk, like, you know, let's say a free exam or x-ray or a free download. You know, those are going to have higher click-through rates than, oh, come purchase, you know, dental implants for $2,000, you know, whatever. It that will depend on your campaign, the campaign objective and what you're trying to promote. So that's a trickier one because there's not necessarily a benchmark that you can say, oh, that's a good one, that's not a good one. But it can also tell you that maybe you don't have enough people that in your audience that you're targeting. So that, because generally speaking, the fewer people that you are targeting, the costlier it is. Okay, the more people you have at your disposal to target, that the less expensive it is for Facebook ads, okay, and marketing in general. And this, again, all these things, I'm going to say it again, but this just provides clues as to what to look at and what might be the problem, okay? So coming back to my new client story. So at first, we weren't seeing the results that we wanted. In this case, the results were production revenue generated. And so starting to look at the clues, we're analyzing the numbers, and I'm looking at all these things, and my, again, going back, my client, she's all over the place. She's still in that roller coaster, that's not working, I'm not seeing anything, you know, that kind of mentality. And that's not normal. Like I'm not saying anything disrespectful to her. It's just she's learning. You know, and that's what's cool. Like I totally get that. And so for me, it's no big deal because I know how it works. You know, I've been through this before. And so I'm helping her, I'm coaching her and being like, okay, well, what's not working? You know, let's dive into it and see. You're kind of blanketing this whole campaign as a flop. But it's not really. Let's dive into it and see. So we're looking at the clicks and those are solid. That's a good number of clicks. We're getting traffic to our landing page, which is, you know, where they're clicking through to, and it has our offer. So that's good. That's a great sign. Check. And we move on to click-through rate. And that is above average. In fact, it's more than double the industry average. So I'm feeling pretty stoked on that. That's great. That's great. We're lining this up. Okay. It's like one of those locks, right? A keypad where you have the four numbers and you're just trying to line all those up. Cause when you do click, it opens and the floodgates open, you know? And so we're starting to line up those numbers. Okay. So we move on to cost per click. And this is also pretty stellar, you know, super low compared to industry campaigns I've run before. And so I knew, okay, all these things are lining up. So that front end is really solid. And like I said, she's still pretty emotional because she's at the beginning stage and she's going to learn. Like, I'm so excited because she'll learn as we go through this and she's going to be so much better because of it. So we looked at the front end, that's working. And it helps us to identify, okay, so let's move farther down the campaign to the next step. And that led me to evaluate the landing page. What are people doing once they click on the ad and it pulls up our landing page? And so I was able to discover after a deeper dive on this that the landing page actually was our hiccup. People were bouncing off the page left and right. They were not spending very much time on there because I think, you know, my guess was the messaging wasn't clear. It wasn't consistent. And incidentally enough, I have to point this out. This was the one thing that was created by a previous agency and not myself. Just saying. I had to point that out. So what I did was I created an alternative landing page and tested that against the original one to make sure that was the culprit. And guess what, do you know? It was. And it performed much, much better. The alternative performed much, much better. And that's, again, that's the cool thing about all this, you guys. Is you do not have to just have this knowledge. Like, you're not just born with all this innate knowledge. Like, I'm not a superstar when it comes to creating landing pages. You know, I have plenty of experience, so I'm definitely more refined and I will have a greater likelihood of success, but I don't have a monopoly on every good idea. That's what I'm trying to say. And so you can put ideas out there and then just look at the feedback and make changes according to the data. And anyone can do this. That's what's so cool. So long story short, come to the happy ending. You know, after the month was finished, I was excited to share the report for the campaign and the ROI was awesome. It was just under 600%, you know, and that what's cool. That's just the first year too. That ROI will improve and go up year after year because those people are coming back, right? Lifetime value of a patient. Super cool. Isn't this awesome? And on top of that, what else is amazing is that we uncovered and improved upon one of our campaign roadblocks. So you're getting better. We're optimizing, we're refining, and we're perfecting. Okay, we're getting those dials in the right place to unlock the floodgates. Okay, so that we can, in the future, we have predictable, sustainable, strategic growth. Love it, you guys. That is the power of marketing right there. That's it, you guys. That's what we're talking about. Okay, and so that's all I'm gonna say for this episode. I just get super excited about this. It's the fun math. I was talking about this with my wife. We had a neighbor over and she was talking about, well, you know, what I do and math and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, that was so cool about this. This is the fun math. You know, I mean, you get to figure this stuff out and really just skyrocket your practice growth for the future. And that's how I feel about this. And so there you go, my friends. That is the episode for today. And the three things to remember out of this episode are: one, embrace the marketing mindset. Repeat after me. I will figure this out. I will figure this out. Embrace that marketing mindset. Number two, understand the lifetime value of your patient so that you can more strategically invest in marketing your practice. Lifetime value of a patient. And third, become a data detective. Evaluate the clues that the data is giving you so you can improve your marketing results. All results. It's just feedback. It is just feedback that you can build upon. Okay. So that's it for today, my friends. If you want to get started in marketing your practice and would like some help, then reach out to our team. Just go to www.dentalmarketingsecretspodcast.com/contact. Yes, that is a long URL, but it is dentalmarketingsecretspodcast.com/contact and fill out the form. And my team or I will get back to you with some more information. And that is it. Again, thank you for joining us today on Dental Marketing Secrets. And until next time, my friends, make it an awesome week.
Did you enjoy this episode of the Dental Marketing Secrets Podcast? Head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And for more proven marketing strategies to grow your practice, visit PracticeRocket.net.